Good morning. Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. I would like right now to welcome the good gentleman from Fallen Fruit. This is a group of artists made up of David Burns, Matias Vigna, and Austin Young. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Let's just start with the basics. What is Fallen Fruit?
Fallen Fruit is a community activist art project that was started a couple of years ago in Los Angeles, California.
And what do you do?
We map neighborhoods and plant fruit trees.
And so you map neighborhoods, meaning, I mean, there's already street maps that have the names of the streets, and you add in cherry tree here, apple tree there?
Yeah, we walked around our own neighborhood. It was a very local project in the beginning. We walked around our own neighborhood, and we found it was full of fruit trees. I mean, it's L.A. So we made a funny little hand-drawn map where we didn't put the addresses. We put the street names and where the trees were because we wanted people to walk around and look for the trees.
And so what happened then? I mean, first of all, what was the genesis of the idea?
This kind of cool young journal in L.A. called the Journal of Aesthetics and Protest, which is mostly artists, asked us for an artist project. And what they asked for was an artist project that focused on political problems, but that wasn't critical, that sort of proposed positive solutions. And somehow we were playing together and we came up with this idea of Silver Lake has a lot of homeless people. And it also has a lot of fruit trees, and we thought, why don't we make a map so that, you know, we sort of solve two problems at once, all these unpicked fruit trees that are hanging over the street and all these homeless people.
And did you actually succeed in getting homeless people to use the fruit tree maps? No.
Well,
they're shaking their heads.
We don't know.
We've pick the trees, and we go through the neighborhood and we pick the trees on a regular basis. Sometimes the fruit is given away. But really what we realize is that there's a resource in the city that's an untapped resource, and that's really not the genesis of the project, but that's really the thrust of the project, is that every neighborhood, we believe, has resources available that is not necessarily visible to the passerby. In the case in Los Angeles, most people pass by in their cars with the radios on and the windows closed or on their cell phones. So we sort of want to invite people to take a look around and change their behavior sets a little bit and really promote the concepts of sharing and the concepts of getting to know your neighborhood.
Now, when you do this, first of all, has it changed your habits of walking around and working with trees or being aware of trees and fruit?
Well, it's made it a lot more active. We all naturally have fruit trees on our properties, and we all did this to some degree before Fallen Fruit began. So Fallen Fruit is really a natural extension of our own behaviors. It's just grown for us, and we've encouraged many people in the area that we live in to walk and pick and talk. Yeah, it's great.
It's great. I know my neighborhood more than I did before, and I actually know where the fruit trees are. And there's like about 10 blocks around us that we mapped that there's just incredible fruit, like grapefruit, passion fruit, banana, avocado.
Now, these are growing in people's yards or growing
No.
publicly?
No, we... part of the project is we decided where there's this thing called public fruit. This is our invention. And public fruit is fruit that might originate in the ground on private property, but that either grows into or hangs over public property. And there's some fruit trees that are just planted on the street or in alleys, and those we consider public fruit trees. So any fruit where the fruit itself is hanging in non-private space.
So over the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So that is officially, by lawyerly definitions, public fruit? No.
No. The way it's been described, well, lawyers have been consulted on this, and of course they say ask, right? That's number one ask, and we do the same. And if there's a homeowner at home, we'd like to knock on the door.
Can we have some apples?
Do you mind? Is it okay? And really, every person we've talked to is elated that we are coming. They go get us some bags from the grocery store to fill. and they're really happy to have people share the fruit because they can't possibly eat that much. So we haven't run into any real issue with that. Although there's an obvious concern about ownership, and that's one of the things I think is really interesting about fallen fruit, is that there's this huge resource of uneaten organic produce that's delicious, and at the same time, people have this concern about a boundary or a property issue, and in some cases, the trees are just downright public. I mean, they're planted in the islands of streets, in parks, and when we say there's a lot of fruit in this neighborhood, we're really not kidding. You'll see tonight we brought slides from the neighborhood, and it's pretty remarkable how many trees and the varieties of edible produce that are available year-round in Southern California.
And in fact, public fruit, fallen fruit, is going to be giving a lecture presentation tonight at 7 o'clock at Tipton Hall on the College of Santa Fe campus, and that is free and open to the public. Go ahead.
Oh, there's a lot of trees in Silver Lake that actually just hang over the street. So you don't really feel like you're invading on somebody's private property. And those are more the kinds of trees that we mapped on our map. Like there's you can drive by a couple trees and reach out your window.
Yeah, there's an incredible
drive-by fruit.
Yeah. There's two blocks on Maltman in Silver Lake where there's banana trees that hang down that literally you pick right out of the car. There's a peach
That's
tree.
That's so LA.
It's so great.
And it's then like the new fast food.
two blocks away is a peach tree, and then there's an entire city block in an older section of LA called Hancock Park that was completely lined in peach trees about 40 years ago, and they're just riddled with peaches. The owner is extremely happy if people come. I mean, that's the truth.
I want to talk a little though about the legal thing, because there's a common law thing, which is that if your neighbor has a fruit tree, and if the fruit tree hangs over your property, that you can cut back that part of the tree. You can. This is true in almost all municipalities, right? You can harvest that. It's not theirs anymore because it's in your airspace. So we've asked a lot of lawyers and sort of city experts about, you know, the sort of legal question, and no one, it's a gray zone. No one really knows. And that's kind of interesting to us, and we like sort of provoking the question about who owns what, and who owns what, who has a lot of things, who has no things, who's responsible for taking care of other people. You know, so what, it's kind of about being a host and being a guest in some way, too.
Also, the project, we really, it's about encouraging people to plant fruit trees on the perimeter of their property. The idea being that in 5 years, you can walk your neighborhood and go make
5 or 15.
Exactly.
However long it takes a tree
It depends. Like a fig tree, you're going to bear fruit very quickly, and it'll be bountiful in 5 years. So it really depends on the climate, the zone, the neighborhood, etc. What we've noticed from our neighborhood is that the people that are planting in public space and the perimeters of property has been increasing over the past couple of years. So
because of your work?
I don't know if it's just because of the zeitgeist. You know, people are thinking about trading out the municipal tree, not trading out, but instead of planting the city trees which are given to you, they've chosen fruit trees instead. And that's certainly true on my block. There's been peach trees, olive trees, loquats, which I don't know if you've ever eaten. They're incredible. They're rare to get in the market, and they're all over.
They're probably a bit more tropical than we would be growing here in Santa Fe.
Yeah, they're fantastic fruit. And anyway, these trees, there's probably 7 or 8 that have been planted on my block in the past 2 years, and that's really exciting to us.
Now, this is, all of you are artists and, you know, writers, photographers, videographers, and so this is a community activist project, and it's also an art project. What is the art aspect of it?
Well, I think art is something that inspires you to think and change your point of view and to create dialogue and to reach out to the world, and that's one of the core definitions of art. We also think of the ideas of this project as a platform which we can express different things. So we've made photographs that get shown in galleries. We're working on a film project next. So this is something that has many different expressions, this project called Fallen Fruit, and we're really excited about the different possibilities.
So you've taken this to different cities. You're here in Santa Fe. And actually, I want to let people know that on Sunday, you're going to be doing a fruit mapping walk. And that's meeting at 11 o'clock at Cloud Cliff on 2nd Street, Cloud Cliff Bakery, and then leaving for the walk at noon. So basically from 11 to 12, you're going to hang out with people and drink coffee and eat fruit tarts. And
that sounds really good.
And then what will you do here in Santa Fe?
Well, we have a new neighborhood to explore.
The 2nd Street neighborhood.
Absolutely, and we're hoping to have some people that live there show us around, and we'll generate a new map.
And so then what happens to these maps? People can pick them up and then go start eating fruit when the fruit ripening season comes?
Well, we put them online, right? We've done this for a while now, and one of the things we've noticed is that when we map in the first place, we try to meet everyone we're mapping, and we try to ask them, you know, if they're okay with it. So we really try to not put anyone on the fruit map who doesn't want to be on the fruit map. And we've never had a bad response. Mostly homeowners say, oh, we don't eat that fruit, please, you know, or it's much too much from us. So it's surprising. The making of the map is really important for us. And then it goes online, and we have sort of a set of, like, principles about what we're encouraging, which is, number one is walking and exploring your neighborhood. Number two, it's sampling, you know, like having a piece of fruit but not hoarding. You know, sharing is a real key part of what we're promoting.
I have to say, on my street and on many streets in Santa Fe, there's a lot of smushed apricots on the sidewalk during harvest season. And I remember, I think it was last year or the year before, I went down to one of my neighbors, like at dusk or at night when I didn't think they were going to see me, with a colander, and put the non-destroyed apricots from the sidewalk into my colander and went home and washed them off and ate them.
Were they good?
Of course.
Okay, great. Apricots are not so good in Southern California. They're okay.
Yeah, they're, well, good. I mean, compared to Italy, they're not good. But, you know, they were edible and they were fine. But there's a larger manifesto kind of atmosphere going on to what you guys are doing. I mean, you published a little statement that says, a specter is haunting our cities, barren landscapes with foliage and flowers, but nothing to eat. And there's a kind of response to an over-processed food production world and presumably genetic engineering and all that kind of thing that is going on here. Is this more of a symbolic thing or really a...
Well, I think this is something that's really important to us, and I think this starts with the idea that fruit, first of all, is a type of food that, a category of food that's eaten around the world. It goes through all classes and cultures, and it's also a symbol of generosity. So this is an idea that really just spans the globe, and we're talking about looking at your neighborhood, right? Okay, so that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that we don't necessarily know where all our food comes from, and that's how we're raised now, right? In America, you eat food from different places. You think it comes from Ralph's, and
it comes from a can,
right? And the apple came from New Zealand, perhaps. So this is something that we definitely are interested in addressing.
And at the same time, eating fruit from your neighborhood is going to be a very tiny part of your nutrition. I mean, you're not going to be able to actually live on fruit that comes from trees.
Well, you know, our far-out idealistic goal is that, you know, all neighborhoods become self-sustaining and that we can change the world, you know, certainly change the shape of cities. Santa Fe seems like a much more comfortable city than L.A. L.A. has a lot of urban problems. So one of our utopian fantasies is that through our project we can change the shape of the city.
I asked because I've got a couple of fruit trees in my yard, and the cherries are ripe for about one day before the birds eat them. And on that day, if I can, I go out and pick them all, and I make basically one or two cherry cobblers, and that's it. So it's that whole year's harvest is the equivalent of one dessert that lasts a day and a half. And so, I mean, you have to have an awful lot of fruit trees to actually feed people in a meaningful way.
Probably true.
Our large fruit trees, because there's avocado trees in Silver Lake that we've mapped that just have hundreds.
I think what you're referring to is all the varieties of fruit, and I think the climate in which they grow, they have different ripening seasons and different life cycles. And from where this project started, which is Southern California, there's fruit year-round. And many of the trees will bear fruit for 3 months, 4 months. Lemons, Meyer lemons, for example, are ever-bearing. So you never need to buy lemons in Los Angeles. And people who have lemon trees are, again, thrilled because they can't. You know, you're just endlessly dealing with lemons, right?
So basically, people who have lemon trees or avocado trees or whatever,
big trees,
their fruit is going bad, and then everybody else is spending money in grocery stores to buy fruit.
Well, yeah, and the people that we've met, we talked to many people in the neighborhood and around with this project, and the people who we spoke to, for example, there's one woman we walked by, and she came out of her house, and she has this fantastic apple tree in her front yard. It's not public fruit. It's not in our
picking area.
Yeah, it's not what we sanction as being acceptable. And she came out to just curiously ask us what we were doing walking in a group around the neighborhood, because that's not common in Los Angeles. And we said, oh, we're from Fallen Fruit, and she had heard of us and was excited, and we were just admiring her tree. And she's like, oh, we never eat them. Please take them. And so we're like, oh, great. And we're eating them, and they're great. So then she decided to eat one. And I said, so where do you buy your produce? And she said Whole Foods. So, you know, the apples were better than you can buy on the market.
It's great. It's very funny. Now, you do something called gorilla fruit plantings.
Shh. That wasn't supposed to be announced on the radio.
Oh.
I'm kidding. A gorilla fruit planting is when we take a fruit tree. We have some different methods. Basically, it's taking a fruit tree and planting it, for example, where there's a space where a street tree has died. And partly we're doing this in L.A. because the city won't plant fruit trees, but they will take care of fruit trees in public space once they're established. Right? So we're kind of forcing the issue.
So you guys plant them and water them and all of that, and then once they're established, then they become the city's responsibility, but then everybody can still eat them.
Yeah, we go out late at night, get a donated tree on Craigslist, and dig it up, and then find a good location.
Did you ever get stopped by the cops?
We have like workers' outfits that we wear, and we've never been stopped.
But. So I guess nobody really bothers you if you're wearing a worker's outfit planting a tree at 2 a.m.
Well, we don't plant that late, but you know it's after work, so yeah. But we've had neighbors come out, and they get really excited about it, and they want more. So they're like, oh, no, come back and do one more over here. We're like, all right. Yeah.
So have you been a lot to other cities besides L.A.? Is this your first trip to a new fruit city?
The three of us, for Fallen Fruit, this is our first invitation outside of Los Angeles, which we're really excited about. However, the project has traveled without us to art galleries and other venues like that.
And so I hadn't heard of the group before, but you're fairly well known in Los Angeles.
There's a lot of competition in L.A., but
I mean, let's say in a certain community.
We're medium fish in a very big world, a big pond.
Well, here we are in the small pond of Santa Fe, and Fallen Fruit is going to be giving a presentation tonight at Tipton Hall on the College of Santa Fe campus at 7 o'clock. And what will you be doing there?
We're going to show. We're going to talk about the project and the genesis of the project and some of the implications that we're working with, like sustainability and permaculture. Also, like questions about what's art and what's an art project and what artists are supposed to do in the world, which are some of the things we think about. And we're going to show images. Got a lot of images from the project, because part of it's very image based and
pictures of fruit.
Pictures of fruit. Pictures of us planting, harvesting fruit.
And pictures of us going on fruit walks. We do a semi-annual fruit walk in Silver Lake and invite people to come, and we go around picking fruit and identifying trees. And I mean, this is about involving people and sharing and getting to change the way you experience the world a little bit.
And so people can actually do that. The more experiential part of your trip, once again, is Sunday. The Fallen Fruit will meet at 11 o'clock in the morning at Cloud Cliff Bakery and hang out for an hour and then go for a fruit walk at noon around the 2nd Street neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Well, it's great to have you here. I want to thank you very much, Messieurs Fallen Fruit, David Burns, Matthias Wigner, and Austin Young. Thanks for being on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much. Have a good morning.